You're listening to the Sermon Podcast by Southside Baptist Church in Florence, South Carolina. We exist to know God and to make Jesus known. For more up-to-date information, check us out at southsidenow.church.
Amen. Good morning. It is so good to see all of you this morning, and it is so good to hear you sing and worship the Lord. Oh, man. How beautiful was that? How great is our God. What a beautiful picture and a beautiful promise of hope, of gathering around the throne of Jesus for all of eternity, proclaiming for all of eternity how great he is and how glorious he is. So if you have your Bibles this morning, would you turn with me to 2 Timothy? 2 Timothy chapter 1 is where we will be today as we continue studying together what it means to be together on mission. Together on mission is who God has called us to be. And this is my greatest desire for us as the church. And so this morning, we're really going to focus on disciple making to the glory of God. Last week, we looked at what it meant to worship. And this week, we're going to look out of that worship, being those who are obedient in our lives to Christ, what it means to be disciple makers to the glory of God. So turn there with me to 2 Timothy chapter 2, beginning in verse 1. This is Paul writing under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit to Timothy. And he says, "You then, my child, be strengthened by the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And what you have heard from me in the presence of many witnesses, entrust to faithful men who will be able to teach others also. Share in suffering as a good soldier of Christ Jesus. No soldier gets entangled in civilian pursuits, since his aim is to please the one who enlisted him. An athlete is not crowned unless he competes according to the rules. It is the hardworking farmer who ought to have the first share of the crops. Think over what I say, for the Lord will give you understanding." Let's pray together. Father in heaven, we love you. And Father, we thank you so very much for your love for us. Father, I thank you for this opportunity together, Father, to open your word, to study your truths together. Father, would you illuminate your scriptures this morning by the power of your Holy Spirit? Would you help us to see clearly and plainly who you are and, Father, who you've called us to be? And so, Father, we give you this time now. And we pray these things in Jesus' holy, matchless, perfect name. Amen. I have had an incredible life up to this point. And I can give you tons and tons of reasons and evidences as to why that is such a true statement for me. But this morning, I want to focus in on one truth about my life that has really allowed me so many opportunities and such a wonderful life personally. I have been blessed with many educators within my life. I've had those who have taught me to read and write, to those who have taught me to think on deep truths and deep ideas. I've had those who have taught me how to play musical scales, to those who have taught me how to analyze and understand symphonies. I have those in my life who have taught me how to hold a hammer and how to hold a nail and how to swing that hammer and how to drive that nail, to those who have taught me how to build things and how to construct things. I have those who have taught me how to talk, how to learn words and how to use words. And then I've had those in my life who have taught me that how I use my words and the words I use in certain situations, they matter and are meaningful. And so I've had people all throughout my life who have invested in me to make me who I am today. They have taught me how to be better to the glory of God. But I will tell you, in all of those things that have been taught to me, all of those things that have been passed on to me, the greatest gift of learning that has ever been passed on to my life is the teaching of the truths of God into my heart and into my mind.
Just as someone intentionally taught me to drive a nail and to hold that hammer, just as someone intentionally taught me how to play the piano, someone intentionally taught me how to read and write, there were those in my life who intentionally sought to teach me the truths of God, to disciple me in the faith, and to grow me in the truths of Jesus. And God has placed a multitude of people in my lives who have discipled me in the faith, who have grown me in this manner in all the seasons of my life, in all the stations, in all the places in which God has placed me. I would absolutely not be standing here before you today preaching the word of God if it wasn't for those who obediently trusted God in his call to go and make disciples. And so God has led his people toward saving faith, and then those people, out of their saving faith, sought to lead me to saving faith. And then as I came to that saving faith, that knowledge, that trust and belief that Jesus Christ has changed my life and he is Lord of my life, when I submitted to him, then those people began to invest in me and disciple me and grow me in the faith. And so from my parents to my pastors to my Sunday school teachers to my wife to my brothers and sisters and in Christ all over the globe, God has placed so many different disciple makers in my life. And I am eternally grateful for this good gift and the efforts of discipleship that have taken place within my life. And I pray this morning that you have the same testimony, that you have the same folks in your life who have intentionally led you to the cross of Christ, those who have intentionally taught you and shared with you the things that are of Jesus, and those who have intentionally cared for you and loved your soul. So last week, we discussed that we are worshipers of God, that we surrender our lives unto him, believing that Jesus is the only one who can save our lives. And out of that surrender and out of that belief and that knowledge of knowing, we seek to worship him. We seek to grow through the learning of the truth, and we seek to grow through the exercising of testing our faith in our walk with Jesus. And then we seek to pass on to others what God has taught and is teaching us every day of our lives. And so as Christ followers who are together on mission, in every circumstance, we are called to make disciples. In every circumstance of our lives, you and I, in Christ Jesus, we are called to make disciples of Jesus. If we desire, as the church, together, to see the struggles and the pains of worldly decisions diminish, and the lives of people change to the glory of God, we must seek to love people with the gospel of Jesus Christ, and we must seek to disciple them in the faith that has changed our lives. And so worshipers of God must make disciples. And this is the reminder that Paul is giving Timothy today as we read these words that Paul has written to Timothy. To our knowledge, Paul had no biological children. Historically, there is no understanding of him being married and having no children. But in his first letter to Timothy, he describes his relationship with Timothy as him being the spiritual father and Timothy being his spiritual son. We need to understand together today that as Paul is writing these words to Timothy, this isn't just some arbitrary letter, but this is a letter to a man, one who he has discipled in the faith, one whom he loves dearly and he loves deeply. And so Paul is writing this letter, and as he's writing this letter, he was imprisoned and his death was very imminent. That's very important as well, because I want us to understand. We think oftentimes about what would I say in those final words, if I had the opportunity to know that these would be my last words to someone, what is it that I would say to that person? And Paul understands that this will be some of the very last words that he says to someone that he loves so dearly and so deeply. And in this moment, Paul calls him in chapter 1 to fan the flame of faith that has been given to him through his mother and grandmother. And we see that there's a true practical understanding that people will come to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ and grow in their faith if you and I are obedient to the truth of God to share the gospel and to disciple others in the faith. See, this is God's plan A, and there is no plan B. We have been called by God to be those who carry the gospel and share the gospel with those around us. And as they come to saving faith, then our desire then is to teach them in the truths of Jesus. And so as we walk together on mission, we must be disciple makers. You and I have been called together in this very purpose. So today, I want us to look at what it means to be a disciple maker. And I'm intentionally using this language of disciple maker because I've been studying and just really wrestling with this idea, and I believe that evangelism and discipleship cannot be separated. They cannot be unhitched from each other. When we evangelize, we are discipling. And when we're discipling, we're teaching others to go evangelize. And so there's this true reality that these two cannot exist without each other. And so what I desire, what I believe God is desiring for us as a church, is that we would be disciple makers, those who are intentionally evangelizing and discipling others in the faith. And so we learned three truths from Paul's words to Timothy today. Some of the last words that Paul could ever speak to Timothy, and this is what he has written for us. And he teaches us how we should make disciples. And we must know that disciple making is that call from God. And this is the way in which he would have us do it. And so the first thing that we understand is that we make disciples in the strength of Jesus. We make disciples in the strength of Jesus. He says, you then, my child, be strengthened by the grace that is in Christ Jesus. Be strengthened by the grace that is in Christ Jesus. As Paul writes these words, he is in prison with his death very, very imminent. And at the end of chapter 1, if you go back and read there, he discusses how mission supporters, those whom he has loved and those who have loved him for many, many years, those who have financially supported him for many, many years, they are falling away from Paul, from supporting him due to the tension and the stresses and the pressure that it is bringing upon their lives. And so Paul is describing for Timothy the reality that walking with Jesus can bring tremendous hardships to a person's life. There may be those whom you love and who you trust who may fall away from you when the journey gets hard. There may be pressures of life that cause great strain in your life. But in this moment, Paul says that even though these people have fallen away from me, even though these people are not supporting me anymore, even though I am imprisoned, chained up, being watched over by guards 24/7, even though my death is very clear and very close, he says the strength and the grace of Jesus is enough. The strength and the grace of Jesus is enough. Paul had lost his friends. He had lost his freedom. He knew he was going to lose his life. And Timothy, whom he loved dearly, was faced with this task to continue to mobilize the gospel through disciple making. And Paul urged Timothy to be strengthened by the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And as Paul is writing these words to Timothy, there is a glaring reality for you and for me that we cannot live this life faithfully in our own power or in the power and the strength of others. Listen, people will fail us. We will fail ourselves. No one has failed me more than Landon. We will fail ourselves. And Paul is calling Timothy and you and me today to walk in the power and the grace of the resurrection power of Jesus, knowing and believing that we have been freed from the bondage of sin. We're no longer chained to sin, and we have been free to walk in and through this beautiful work of Jesus in this glorious calling of making disciples. So Paul wants us to understand that life may become complicated. The journey may become hard as we walk with Jesus. Listen, this is one of the greatest misconceptions I believe that I experienced as I talked with people about saving faith and what that looks like as they walk with Jesus. There's a fallacy in so many hearts and in so many minds that if I just follow after Jesus, this life will get so much easier. But the reality is, although there's a hope and a promise of an eternal, perfect destiny, we are still walking with Jesus in a very sinful world. And our trusting Jesus and our walking with Jesus may create more trouble for us in this sinful world. Right now, there are brothers and sisters in Christ who, upon their immediate decision to trust Jesus, immediately were disowned by their families. So we have to understand that thinking that walking with Jesus will just create a life that is simple and easy is a lie from Satan. And he tells us this lie because what he wants us to think is the moment that it goes wrong, the moment that it gets hard, he wants us to think that Jesus is a liar. But Jesus never told us that. Jesus says, I'm the suffering one. And if you come after me, you are following in my suffering. And so here we are, seeing Paul's life give evidence to this truth. Paul loved Jesus deeply. Paul lived his life fully committed to making disciples and to seeing lives change through the preaching and the teaching of the gospel. And yet, here he is in prison and facing death. So living with and for Jesus is beautiful, but it can come with suffering. Being intentional to make disciples brings spiritual warfare. Satan, with his evil forces of this world, will wage war on the lives of God's children who are seeking to be obedient to Jesus' command to make disciples. Go read Ephesians 6 this week. Understand what is at stake. Understand how much Satan hates us living on mission for Jesus. And so once we understand this reality, we begin to quickly realize and know that we cannot do this life on our own. We cannot face the struggles and the pains that may come. We cannot face the realities of the evil forces of this world on our own. But there's a glorious truth that we can be strengthened by the grace that is in Christ Jesus. Every single day, Lamentations 3:23 says that the Lord is faithful and his mercies are new each and every morning. That is so much goodness for you and me to know and believe. If you get it wrong on a Tuesday, go to bed waking up on Wednesday knowing that the mercy of God is new on that morning. Great is his faithfulness. And when we are unfaithful, praise God, he is still always faithful. And so every single day, we get the privilege to live in the grace and the mercy of the God of the universe. We get to walk in this manner. And as we walk in grace and mercy, we must be obedient. The grace of God has freed us to walk in obedience to God. And that obedience is the call and understanding and walking obediently in making disciples. And so the second thing we see in is that we make disciples by teaching others what God has taught us. We seek to make disciples by teaching others what God has taught us. Look there, he says, "And what you have learned from me in the presence of many witnesses, entrust to faithful men." And so Paul is telling Timothy, you have learned the truth of God, and in obedience to Jesus, pass this truth on to others. It's really not that complicated, is it? We hear, we learn, and then we turn and we take that and we pass it on. This is the call that God has placed in our lives. This is God's plan for us. This is what Jesus meant when he said, go and make disciples of all nations. The God of the universe has entrusted you and me to take the gospel, to share the gospel, to love others with the gospel. He could have written the gospel in the clouds, but instead, he chose you and me to use our brains and our mouths and hearts that have been transformed to go and to share and to carry this truth all around the world. And so just as alluded to earlier, I believe that making disciples takes on two forms. There's evangelism, in which we seek to teach others who Jesus is and the truth that they have a deep need for Jesus. And then there is discipleship, in which we take someone under our care and we seek to grow them and care for them in the faith, teaching them the truths that God has taught us and passing on this wisdom and this knowledge that we have been blessed to receive. And so this morning, I want to get very practical for just a moment. Really practical. Telling others what Jesus has done for you in your life is one of the greatest tactics of evangelism. 2 weeks ago, I preached on Acts 1:8, and Jesus says, you are to be my witnesses to the ends of the earth. Your story matters. You have a first-hand account of the work of the Holy God of the universe in your life. And so one of the things that I really encourage myself to do over different times of my life, and I've been encouraged in seminary, and I think it's good for every Christ follower to do, is to sit down with a pen and a paper, or it is 2024, you can get a keyboard, you know, if you want a keyboard. Something to write with, all right? Get something to write with and spend time and write out your testimony. How has God changed your life? Write that testimony out. And it's beautiful because as you write that testimony, I promise you, you'll do nothing but worship God and give him thanks and give him praise. But also there's a reality that in that writing of that testimony, that you will begin to be prepared. Just as I prepare to preach every Sunday, we, being soldiers in Christ, those who are seeking to make disciples, we know every single day that we're looking for encounters with those around us so that we can share the gospel of Jesus Christ with them. And the first thing we need to know is, what will I tell them? What will I share with them? And so write that testimony. Get it to a minute, 2 minutes. Share those things in your life, the ways in which Jesus has changed your life. And I also want to encourage you this morning, be very careful as you write that testimony. Listen, the church is wonderful, your family is wonderful, your spouse is wonderful, and all the other folks in your life are wonderful, those who have impacted your life. But I want you to be certain, when you share your testimony of faith with anyone who God places in your pathway, to be very certain and sure to tell them that only Jesus changed your life. And there's many ways in which he has blessed your life. Many great blessings, many great people who have invested and poured in your life. There's a beautiful, beautiful gift from him called the church, where God desires you to be and to be plugged in. But the only one who can change your life, and the one who changed my life, is Jesus Christ. And so work through that. And be sure to tell them that as you share their salvation with them, that the work has been done, that there's nothing that they can do. Jesus, through his death, burial, and resurrection, he has done the perfect work. Be sure to express to them their deep need for him, the very fact that we are all sinners. Help them to understand that their condition is a condition in which you too are a part of. Their struggles, although they may not look exactly the same, are struggles that you too have. You're fighting this battle every single day, just like they are. But the difference between you and that person is you're not fighting the battle on your own. You have been changed. You've been made a new creation. And they too can experience that. So this is our desire when we share the gospel. And this is a work that all of us have been called to do. Every single one of us. When Jesus said, go make disciples, he meant for us to do this. And then once someone comes to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ, we don't abandon them. We don't just, you know, push them off into a Sunday school class or push them off in the church or just bid them well. No, God has called us to disciple others in the faith, to teach them how to walk with Jesus and how to grow in their faith. We don't have to be a biblical scholar to disciple someone in their faith. As Christ followers, we should have knowledge of the scripture, because we should be seeking to grow in our own faith, to grow in our own walk with God. And what we simply are called to do is to lead others in that walk of where God is walking us. And as we walk towards God, we're saying, come on. We're going to keep walking towards God together. We're going to keep living in the truth together. We're going to keep pointing you to the truth together. We're going to keep challenging each other together. But let me be real with you this morning. There's one really, really, really difficult part about discipleship. And it's this: time. It takes time. There will be a sacrifice that has to be made. An intentional effort will have to be made. My greatest desire in my life is to have an hour somewhere within a week with someone. Maybe that looks like 30 minutes for you. Maybe that looks like 2 hours with you. Maybe you have more time. But somehow or another, figuring out an intentional time in which you and that person will gather together. And find that time within your lives and guard it with everything you have. Put it on your calendar, put it in your heart, put it in your mind. And when someone says, hey, can you do this, this, huh? Nope, I can't. I've got an obligation. I've got somewhere I've got to be. I've got something I've got to do. And so as you gather together with that person, spend time at the beginning, gathering, intentionally talking about your life. Talking about what has been taking place in your life before you met this specific time. And I'm going to be honest, there's another thing that's really hard about discipleship. But if discipleship is to go the way it should, there's a transparency that must occur. A willingness to really open one's heart and to share one's heart in the way in which Jesus is working within our hearts. And so as we gather together, we want to talk about the things in our life that have gone well. I love it. Joshua calls these the highs of the week. What has gone well in your life this week? And then also as we gather together, we want to be very transparent. We want to be very real, understanding that life isn't perfect. And there were probably some lows in your life as well. What were the hard things? What were the difficult struggles, the things that you faced? And so spend time after discussing these things, praying specifically for the good parts of the week, giving God glory and praise for those moments, asking God also to give you strength and grace in those moments that were lows, in those moments that were difficult. And then as you turn your heart toward the scriptures, because that's the only tool you need, that's it. You, a person, and a Bible. That's it. And as we turn our hearts towards the scripture, asking God to illuminate the scriptures, asking us to teach him through the scriptures. And I've had an incredible opportunity over the past few weeks to hang out with a couple of dear brothers. And I've learned a method for studying the scripture and discipleship that I believe is really just beautiful. It's not complicated. And it's very effective. And so the goal is, as you turn your hearts towards the scripture, read the passage of scripture that God has called you to for that day. Read it. Pay attention as you read it. Slow down and read. And then after you read that scripture, ask two questions. The first question is this: what did you like about what you just read? The second question is this: what did you not like about what you just read? And the reality of it is, I love the entirety of Scripture, but there is so much in Scripture that comes and it challenges me. And immediately, we have this kind of visceral response of like, ooh, man, that's right in my grill right there. And so that would probably be something I didn't like at first. But spend time talking through those things. What do I like? What do I not like about what I'm reading right here in the Scriptures? And then go back and read that scripture again. Again, slowly, thinking about what you're reading. And then ask this question.
I'm having very ill effects on microphones around here, and I don't know why. So we've asked the question of, what is this telling us about God? And then the second question is this: what is this scripture showing about myself? What is it teaching me about myself? What is it teaching me about humanity? And so as we begin to understand who God is and what the scriptures are saying about him, because that's how he reveals himself to us, we begin to understand who we are and our struggles and our depravity and our deep need for him. And we begin to understand as well how in which we apply these truths to our lives. And so out of these two understandings, these two questions of what is the scripture teaching me about God and what is it teaching me about myself, there's application that we then apply to our lives. And so the goal is then to say, okay, God, change my life so that I live in this way. And as we look toward leaving that meeting and going for another week before we come back together again, what we want to do is we want to set what has been taught to me as SMART goals: specific, measurable, attainable, relevant, and time-oriented goals. So oftentimes what we'll do is we'll say, you know, that scripture tells me not to lie, so I'm just not going to lie this week. It's very general. What my prayer for us as Christ followers is, as we see areas in our lives in which we need to change, things in which we need to pursue more with God, that we get very specific. That we get very, very specific with God. And so that might mean, hey, over the next 7 days, I'm going to read my Bible for 10 minutes before I go to work. That's a very SMART goal. Or that may mean that I'm going to spend time in the Word with my children and my wife for 5 minutes before everyone goes to bed over the next 7 days. It's a very SMART goal. And so out of those teachings of God, we want to create specific, measurable, attainable, relevant, and time-oriented goals. And when we gather together in that next meeting, then we need to hold each other accountable. We need to ask, how did that go in your life this week? How can I pray for you? What were the struggles that you faced? Proverbs 27:17 says that iron sharpens iron and one man sharpens another. See, this is the goal. We don't want to be dull blades in the box. We want to be iron sharpening iron so that we can be used to the glory of God for his purposes in all things. And what I just described is not complicated. What I described also is not the only way. It's a way. But what we must do is find a way and do it. Because God has called us to make disciples. This is our call from God. And listen to me, this isn't a once in a while call. This is a reality of life. This is who we're called to be. Which leads us to the very final purpose, is that we make disciples by staying true to our purpose. Look at what he says there. Share in suffering as a good soldier of Christ Jesus. No soldier gets entangled in civilian pursuits, since his aim is to please the one who enlisted him. An athlete is not crowned unless he competes according to the rules. It is the hardworking farmer who ought to have the first share of the crops. Think over what I say, for the Lord will give you understanding in everything. So making disciples is our God-given purpose. And Paul reminds Timothy yet again, if we're going to come after Jesus, that we must take up our cross daily, deny ourselves, and follow after him. We follow after the suffering one. But in Christ Jesus, we understand that there is purpose in the suffering. Paul tells Timothy, don't let the suffering deter you. It is a part of the purpose. It is a part of who God has called us to be. And he says, if we allow the distractions of suffering to deter us from the mission, then we will miss the entire point of the mission entirely. So he gives us these images of a soldier, an athlete, and a farmer, all of whom have a mission and have a purpose before them. He says that soldiers seek to honor their lead and their mission in every single pursuit. He says that athletes seek to compete with every effort to the very best of their abilities according to the rules of the game. And he says a farmer is rewarded with good crops as a result of the hard work and the purposeful planting that comes forth from their growth of crops. But at the same time, we realize that soldiers stare death in the face regularly. Athletes are faced with pain and constant disciplined work. Farmers deal with the hard work and the sweat on their brow and the reliance upon good soil and sunshine and rain to do the work that they cannot do to grow a good crop. And we too, as disciple makers, we are faced with much uncertainty in this world. We have needed discipline. And we have the reliance upon God to do the work that we cannot do on our own. But this is a part of the purpose. Just as the farmer trusts God to grow the crop, we too trust God to grow his children. We can only do the work that we have been called to do. But the question is, are we doing the work that we have been called to do? And so as we walk together in this mission, seeking to be disciple makers, we must pay close attention to verse 7 as we close. Look what it says there. It says, think over what I say, for the Lord will give you understanding in everything. Paul says, think. Think over what I have said. You and I, we are called to dig into the scriptures. And I'm convinced that the reason why the church has struggled for so very long with discipleship is the very truth and reality that we are not thinking over the truth of God. I'm afraid we're not growing in the truth ourselves. We're not living lives that are immersed in the scriptures. And I don't want this to be true of us here at Southside Baptist Church. I want us to be a people who are immersed in God's word at all times, together. I want us to be a people who love God's word and know the word of God and live by the word of God together. I want us to be a people who seek to make disciples and evangelize others in the faith together. Christ did not save us for our Bibles to sit on bookshelves. Christ saved us so that we would grow daily in our faith, seeking to grow in His truth and to grow others in His truth as well. And so if you feel as though your spiritual growth is struggling because of a lack of discipline, make a smart goal for this week. Make the plan to read your Bible for 5 minutes each day. You could use the method that I mentioned above to dig into the scriptures. Listen, if you've never discipled someone one-on-one, make a commitment this week to pray to God each day, asking Him to give you someone to disciple. And in my experience, God will honor and answer that prayer. And when He does, be intentional to pursue that relationship. Ask God this week to give you someone with whom you can share the gospel with. And pray for Him to give you the strength and the courage to say that first word. Because usually once we get past the first word, the rest of them will come. But it's just starting the conversation. One of the greatest aspects of discipleship within our church are connection groups. Every Sunday at 9:15, there are groups gathered together all around this church studying the Word of God together. I would encourage you, if you do not have a small group, come next Sunday at 9:15 and meet in this lobby. We'd love to plug you into a connection group. On Wednesday nights at 6:30, there are men and women and children who are studying the Word of God together. Come, be a part. God is leading us this morning to grow in making disciples. There is no doubt in my mind because this is His call for us as a church. This is our purpose. To know and to believe that in all circumstances, we are called to make disciples together. Father in heaven,